Well, I bring you good news of great joy. For to you was born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Well, Merry Christmas. I'd like to welcome all of you to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. This will be a service of lessons and carols as we hear the Christmas story in four parts. At the conclusion of our service, we will all sing together Silent Night by candlelight. So hopefully each of you has your candle as you received it on the way in. If not, you can sneak out and grab one in just a second. But a few logistical details as we get started. After Pastor Keen shares the Christmas meditation, he and I are going to light our candles from the Christ candle, the white candle in the middle, and then we're going to proceed down the center aisle, lighting the candles at the head of each row. So if you're not at the front of the row, maybe you could scoot that way. That would be helpful for us. And then also, as the candles are lit, you'll pass that flame down the end of the row. But be sure to only tilt unlit candles. If your candle is lit, keep it vertical, please, so we don't spill wax all over the place. And then, parents, we do ask that you would supervise your own children. And at the conclusion of the service, there'll be bins outside the sanctuary for you to drop your candle in if you like. But this time, if you have any electronic devices, I'd ask if you would turn them off or put them into mute or vibrate mode. And I would like to invite Daniel and Gina Langford to light our Advent wreath this evening.
The fifth candle is Christ's candle. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, was born. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world.
He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:1-14.
Would you pray with me? Our gracious Father, we remember on this night so long ago, you gave us your Son, the eternal Word, the one through whom the entire universe was made, the Savior of all. He took on flesh, was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. And so on this night, we join our voices with the heavenly host that we may sing of your glory. Would you give us a place among the shepherds that we may worship the one for whom we have waited, Jesus Christ the Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
the Christmas story in four parts. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Well, I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 196.
Yeah.
may be seated. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You can remain seated while we sing hymn number 213. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 207. You may be seated. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When the king heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out for them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
I don't know about you, but I have a favorite set of verses for Christmas Eve. Oddly enough, they come from the book of Titus. Book of Titus, chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is giving instructions to this young pastor on this island of Crete, telling him how to direct the affairs of the church. He says something very interesting, right in the middle of the passage, verses 1 through 7. Listen to these verses. Paul says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." Then verse 4, my text for this evening. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." When the kindness and the love of God appeared. Advent means appearing. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. Or should I say, God Almighty, in the person of the second person of the Trinity, long ago, He made His appearance. The God of all the universe came to earth in the form of a man. And Paul lays this out in beautiful terminology. I think this is a perfect verse for Advent. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared. This verse communicates that in the midst of all of our sin, which deserves condemnation and judgment, God Himself demonstrates His kindness, His love, and His intent to save a people. Listen to those words again. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, the one who was to judge, the one who was to condemn sin, is the very one who would be the Savior. That's the beautiful thing about our triune God. He is holy, He is separate from sinners, and yet He loves sinners. And He Himself sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to save us. He showed His kindness to us and His love. He goes on to say He saved us, not because of things we had done, but because of His mercy. Mercy is a beautiful thing. Mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. Mercy is when God says, "You deserve judgment, but I'm not going to pour that out on you." I can't help but think of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You know, they came in the place of prayer, and the Pharisee stood there, and he congratulated himself for all that he had done. "I fast twice a week. I do this. I do that." Whereas the tax collector just beat his chest and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." He didn't expect anything from God. But Jesus said that man, the tax collector, is the one who went home justified. God saves us and demonstrates His mercy. And notice how He says how He saved us, by washing and renewal. He washed away our sins, and He renewed us by sending His Holy Spirit to indwell our hearts. I can't help but think of the words in Ezekiel chapter 36, where God Almighty says to the prophet, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put My Spirit in you and move you to follow My decrees and to be careful to keep My laws." What did the Lord do in salvation? God our Savior, in showing His kindness, He sent His one and only Son, because Paul says He washed us and He renewed us through Jesus Christ. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ at Advent. And Jesus said of his own ministry in Mark 10, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Why was Jesus born? He was born to die. He was born to give his life for us. He was born to show mercy to us by sending his Holy Spirit to indwell our hearts, by changing us, and by cleansing us with his own blood. That's why Jesus came, because we could never change ourselves. And Paul goes on in verse 7 to say, we are justified by his grace. Grace is the other side of mercy. You see, not only does God have to remove our sin, which he did in the blood of Christ, but he has to give us the righteousness that we don't have. That God the Father demands, and only Jesus could provide. Jesus credits his righteousness to us. And so God not only shows mercy by not giving us what we do deserve, that is judgment and condemnation, he shows us grace by giving us what we don't deserve. And that is all the riches of heaven at Christ's expense. It says you're justified by grace, you're heirs of God, and you're given the hope of eternal life. I love the words of Jesus in John 10. I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hand. What a beautiful picture. That's what it means to experience the kindness of God in Christ Jesus. I started this message in the middle in verse 4. I'd like to go back to the first couple of verses. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Because Paul talks to Titus and says, remind the people to be this way, to be obedient, to be good to authorities, respectful, to be ready to do every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. In other words, Christians lead lives that are selfless. Christians lead lives where the Spirit of God fills the heart and enables them to live this way. I don't know about you, but in my own strength, that is not me. My flesh tells me to look out for number one. My flesh often defies authority. My flesh is not gentle. It is not peaceable. And the only way that I'll experience that is to come to Jesus, to find my identity in him, to embrace his offer on the cross for my sins, to allow my life to go down in him and his life to come up in me, to allow his Spirit to fill my heart. In fact, not just fill my heart, but give me a new heart and change me. That's what a Christian does. And you see, if you've tasted the kindness and the love of God our Savior, then you can't help but demonstrate those characteristics to other people. For you see, that other verse, Paul says at one time, verse 3, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That is the picture of an unregenerate heart. That is the picture of a pagan. But you know, sadly, too often, that's the picture of us. We can be envious. We can be deceived. We can be enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And yet God showed his kindness by sending Jesus, his Son. Let me ask you this Christmas Eve 2016, have you tasted the kindness of the Lord? Have you tasted the kindness of the Lord? Have you experienced the appearance of Jesus? Not in time and space and in this universe, but in your heart. For if you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is going to change you. It may be messy and ugly. It may take many, many years, but he will change you. And when you taste the kindness and the love of God our Savior, you cannot help but cry out, Lord, Show me your mercy. Give me your grace. And make me to be the secure, stable, selfless person of verse 1. And not the selfish, discontented individual in verse 2. Are you ready for Christmas this year? Have you tasted the kindness and the love of God our Savior in Christ Jesus? I read a story this afternoon. I have a little app on my phone and it sends me news articles from all over the planet, which is a nice thing, I suppose, although I feel guilty that I don't read them all. But I saw this one in Cleveland, Ohio. It was about two ladies. They both worked at Bob Evans Restaurant in Cleveland. One is Meg Stankiewicz, and the other is Maureen Earn. They've known each other for a long time. In fact, they're like sisters. They even look the same. But Maureen is a good bit older than Meg, about 15 or 20 years. And Maureen came down with breast cancer about 17 years ago, but all of a sudden it resurfaced. And she could not work. She had to stay home. We saw the bills pile up. But instead of losing her job, Meg covered her shifts. She took over those shifts for months and months while she was going through treatment. And the boss agreed to maintain the position as Meg covered her shifts. And finally, whenever her cancer went into remission, Maureen came back to work, and she was thrilled to have a job. But that's not all. Meg came up to her after that when she started back and brought a big, big envelope. And inside of that envelope was every dime that she made on behalf of Maureen while she was out. In her pay, as she held down two other jobs, in her pay and tips. And she said, "Don't give this back to me. This is yours." I think about that story, showing kindness and love. And I can't help but think that that all pales in comparison to the Lord Jesus as he looks at us and says, "I will show you my kindness, my love, and my saving intent in your life. I was born to go to the cross. And I will bleed to death for your sins. And I call you to humbly submit yourself to me. Cry out to me in confession. Admit your need. Have your heart changed. And begin to follow me as your Lord and Savior." When the kindness of God our Savior appeared, Jesus appeared 2,000 years ago. He lives in hearts all over the world today, and he's coming again. And the question again before the house, has that kindness and that love and that salvation appeared in my heart? Have I embraced Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior? Because if you haven't, you're not ready to celebrate Christmas. It'll be a lot of ugly sweaters and gifts, food, dysfunctional relationships with relatives, etc., etc. But it won't be Christmas. It won't be Christmas. May God bless us to open our hearts to taste his kindness and his love and his salvation, which is in Jesus Christ alone. May we see the impact of that in our lives tonight and tomorrow. And the rest of this year and into the next. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus, born in a cow stall so many years ago. No room in the inn for him. Father, I pray tonight that there would be room in our hearts for the Lord Jesus, that you would touch us deeply. Father, we would know you and submit our lives to you and walk with you in trust and obedience. And Father, if there's one here or more that have never known the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would invade their heart and open their eyes, draw them to you, and save them so that they might experience Christmas. Father, do all these things and more, even now and when we leave this place. And we'll give you the praise and glory and honor for all that you will do. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to light our candles in just a second while the music plays. And then if you'll turn to 210, once we get the candles lit, we'll sing Silent Night together. forget to put your candles in the back and receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord set his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.